So glad to have you guys here with us today. We had a fantastic week of VBS. And so just to give you a quick glimpse of our week, some perspective, I want to show you just some really fun kind of statistics from the week. We had over 4,000 styrofoam cups, 6,200 circles cut out for decorations, 8 hours of worship, 6 hours of Bible teaching, 5,800 security wristbands, 2,900 snacks, and our next-gen team, between last week and the week prior to VBS, decorating, getting ready, going to the store, buying supplies, we added up all of our steps between our Fitbits, Apple Watches, a health app on our phones, and we walked 1,006,542 steps, which is almost from here to the beach, except we were not on vacation, but next year maybe. So, but the most important thing, as Jay shared earlier, was that we had 19 professions of faith, which is 19 lives that have been changed for eternity. And that, yeah. And that's why VBS matters. And so for all of you who are involved, we just want to say a deep thank you. For those who couldn't be here, we know that many of you joined us in prayer and we felt those prayers. And so we thank you for that. And so this morning, as Jay mentioned a minute ago, we're going to be in 2 Peter. Our theme verse for the week was 2 Peter 1:3. And so if you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 1. We're going to be in verses 3 through 11. So go ahead and stand with me as we read in honor of God's word. His divine power has given us everything required for life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. By these, He has given us every great and precious promises, so that through them you may share in the divine nature, escaping the corruption that is in the world because of evil desire. For this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with goodness, goodness with knowledge, knowledge with self-control, self-control with endurance, endurance with godliness, godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being useless or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. The person who lacks these things is blind and short-sighted and has forgotten the cleansing from his past sins. Therefore, brothers and sisters, make every effort to confirm your calling and election, because if you do these things, you will never stumble. For in this way, entry into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will be richly provided for you. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you how you came to us, so we have a reason to pursue you and make every effort, as Peter said. And I pray this morning through the teaching and hearing of your word that that will set and take deep root in our hearts and minds this morning. We love you and thank you for your son. Amen. So this morning, before we really dig in, there's a couple of important things that we need to address. And number one is that Simon Peter is writing this letter and he's addressing believers. And we know that by looking at verse 1. If we go back and look at verse 1, he says, "To those who have received a faith equal to ours through the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ." So he's clearly addressing those who already have an established faith. The second thing is that Peter is not pushing a works-based salvation. If you're not careful when you read this text, you can assume that he's meaning you have to make an effort to earn your salvation. And that's not at all the picture that we see here in 2 Peter. Instead, this is, you have already received Christ, therefore make every effort. So not make every effort to receive Christ, but instead, we've already received him, therefore make every effort possible. So just to be clear, in Peter's letter here in 2 Peter, it's faith first, therefore effort. And according to dictionary.com, which is a very reliable source, as you know, godliness is the quality of being religious. And they're wrong. Because you know as good as I do that you can be religious and not be godly. Let's think about the Pharisees in the New Testament. They were the religious of all the religious. They were the devout of all the devout, except they missed the point because they believed that their religion, their keeping of the law, their obeying the rules, their list of do's and don'ts of morality was their key to godliness. And instead, what we see here in Peter, what Peter says is that godliness doesn't come from a moral checklist of do's and don'ts, but godliness comes from knowledge through the power of God that has been revealed to us through his grace. And so I want to just compare that with what I have come up with my own definition of godliness this morning from this text. And it's this, that godliness occurs when we make every effort to live our lives for the glory of God, grounded in the knowledge of God and the promises of God. So godliness occurs when we make every effort, as Peter says twice, once in verse 5 and once in verse 10, to make every effort to live our lives for the glory of God, grounded in the knowledge of God and the promises of God. Godliness comes from a lifetime of pursuing Him, of pursuing God every day with His successes and failures. And when you strive to grow in your faith and godliness, you're still going to fail, you're still going to fall, you're still going to have days where you feel like you're taking two steps forward and one step back. It's going to be a very slow process. But the idea is that because we are sinful human beings and because of our fallen nature, godliness goes against every fiber of our being. We're going to have to wrestle with it. We're going to have to fight for it. We're going to have to make a serious effort, a perseverance, as Paul would say, in our faith to make it through to be godly. So culture preaches, live for yourself. Do what feels good. As long as you're happy, everything's okay. Which is a pretty big contradiction to what we truly know according to scriptures as what godliness is, which means if we want to be godly, we have to die to self. Which is hard to do because, as you said, it goes against everything about our fallen nature. But Peter says here in this text that godliness is possible. And under the umbrella of faith, growth and godliness are very closely connected. And so we've talked a little bit about godliness. Well, growth is a natural part of life. It's everywhere. We want our kids to grow. We want our grass to grow. We want our education to grow, our careers to grow. But all those things require effort. And so as we know, we work very hard. We spend thousands of dollars, countless hours, striving to achieve our desired growth in these areas. But for those of us who are believers, those of us who have already received faith, as Peter says in this text, we need to make every effort towards growing in our godliness. And in our culture, as many of you know, health and fitness is a popular thing. Not for me, I don't like to run, but if you do, that's fantastic. And this is not at all a knock on being healthy because we know from scriptures that God wants us to take care of our bodies, that our bodies are a temple of the Holy Spirit. We need to be stewards of our bodies. And if you want to run and be fit, then I will support you 100% from the couch. But what I'm saying is that when we have a goal that we want to strive towards. If we want to run the Nashville Marathon, we're going to have to set goals, incremental goals, to get to that point. If we want to be able to run 26.2 miles, you're going to have to start running way earlier than the marathon. You're going to have to eat a certain way, make sure you're getting ample amounts of sleep, make sure you're drinking the proper amounts of water. You're going to have to train hard, work hard, and make every effort. And when we have goals in life that we strive towards, we're willing to stay up late, wake up early, spend countless amounts of time. And what Peter is saying is, that's fantastic. But in your salvation and in your justification, you need to continue to make every effort to grow in your godliness. Growth is a natural part of life. And so with this recent survey stated that in 2018, that people on average are spending between $250 and $400 a month on health, fitness, and healthy eating. And in the same way, we need to make every effort and strive and pursue our relationship with Christ, because without that, we're not going to see growth. So we have to do whatever it takes in our lives to align ourselves with the things of God. And so this morning, I have four main points that we're going to unpack together that will be reflected on a circle chart behind me on the screen. And so we're going to begin with number one is God's power, our calling. Through God's divine power, through His goodness and grace, He's given us everything required for godliness. Because at the exact moment of our salvation, at the exact moment of our justification, we receive the Holy Spirit in full, which means that our calling for eternity is sealed at that very moment. So we aren't working towards salvation. We are working because we want to confirm and affirm our calling and who we belong to. Ephesians 1, 13 and 14 says, "In Him you also were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and when you believed. The Holy Spirit is the down payment of our inheritance until the redemption of the possession to the praise of His glory. And what this means is that when we are called, we are forgiven, and therefore we turn away from our sin, we turn to Christ and live for Him. And so therefore, godliness is not just a goal that Christians should have for ourselves, that we need to strive to be godly, which is true. But it's not just a goal, but I truly believe and sincerely believe that it's an expectation. God is the standard of godliness. We fall short. We all know we fall short of the glory of God. He has made us righteous through His Son, so therefore we need to make every effort to be godly. It's an expectation. So our calling and belonging to Christ inspire us deep within through the power of the Holy Spirit to make every effort. Number two, divinely inspired effort. Divinely inspired effort comes from the knowledge and promises of God. And we know that the knowledge that we have of God comes through His grace, through His revelation of Himself to us. And Peter writes in 1 Peter chapter 1, 3 through 5 about some of these promises. Praise the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to His great mercy, He's given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that is imperishable, uncorrupted, and unfading, kept in heaven for you. You are being protected by God's power through faith for a salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. Now, on December 3rd, 2011, when Janae, my wife, and I were married, the greatest day of her life, when we exchanged rings, we exchanged vows, I got to kiss the bride in front of all of our friends and family, that was not the end. When you get married, you don't just, you know, kick back and prop your feet up and say, all right, well, I've got her now. I don't have to work at it anymore. I don't think that that would go very well. Right, men? Even on Father's Day. So, I mean, imagine this. Imagine if after the ceremony, just before you're about to go and celebrate with your friends and family at the reception, the pastor who officiated the ceremony pulls you into the hallway and says, all right, guys, I've just got to be real. Today is as good as it's going to be. It's all downhill from here. Nobody would get married. They'd be like, well, no, not going to do it. No, the day you get married is the beginning. Just in the same way, the day that we proclaim that we are a Christian, the day that we profess our faith in Christ alone, through faith alone, through grace alone, that moment is not the end. That moment is the beginning. And in the same way, I'm not going to prop my feet up and just say, well, I'm married, so I've got her. I don't have to work at it anymore. In the same way, the day that we profess Christ as we are saved through Him, we're not propping our feet up and saying, okay, well, I've got my fire insurance. I don't have to worry about it anymore. No, it takes intentional growth and intentional effort for us to grow in our relationship. And so Billy Graham says, being a Christian is more than just an instantaneous conversion. It's a daily process whereby you grow to be more and more like Christ. And godliness isn't just a light switch that we flip from off to on and it happens overnight. Godliness is a slow process. Just as Billy Graham said, it's a day-to-day process. And sometimes, because of the day in which we live, in 2018, we don't like to wait on things. And if things don't happen as fast as we like them to, we get frustrated. I found myself a few days ago ordering something on Amazon Prime, and it wasn't available in the two-day shipping. I was going to have to wait 3 days. And I was like, when? What's up with this? I'm a Prime member. We don't like to wait, and if we don't see the results happen as fast as we'd like them to, we grow disinterested and we try to put them on the side. But godliness is a slow process, a steady process of intentional effort to grow in His likeness. And it kind of makes me think of my children, and I see them every single day. And even though I see them every day, I don't notice change in them immediately. However, when we're playing in the backyard, if I haven't seen them in a few days, or if I've been gone for some reason and I come back, it seems like, man, they have grown so much. They have changed so much. If I see a picture come up on Facebook from last year's birthday, I'm like, golly, I cannot believe how much they've grown, how much they've changed. In the same way, we may not see day-to-day change in our lives, but over time, we will begin to see a growth pattern in our relationship, and that's what it should be. So you may be sitting in your seat this morning thinking, well, I haven't seen growth in a very long time. And I'm wrestling in my relationship with Him, and I'm even wondering if I am truly saved in the first place. And that's okay, because God just wants us to try. He wants us to give an effort. The image that comes to mind is a little boy trying to ride his bike for the first time without training wheels. You've all seen it before. Maybe you remember from when you were a kid, or maybe your son or daughter has gone through this. But the image I have is a little boy sitting on a bicycle that really is a little bit too big because his dad really wanted him to have the cool one instead of the one that he really needed. He's gripping the handlebars with everything he can because he's scared to death because there's no training wheels. His helmet's kind of cocked over to the side because it's really too big for his tiny little head, but he got his helmet on. He's holding on for dear life. The dad's got his hand on one handlebar. His dad's got his hand on his back, and he said, "All right, buddy, you've got this. Just pedal. Just try. You've got this." "But dad, I'm going to fall. I'm scared." "Son, I've got you. I've got my hand on the bike. I've got my hand on your back. If you fall, I will still pick you up. Just pedal." Some of us are sitting on the bike, and we haven't started pedaling. Some of us are okay just sitting on the bike, not moving an inch. As we said a minute ago, growth and godliness go hand in hand. They are connected. If you want to grow in your godliness, you have to make an effort. It wasn't too long ago, I had a friend of mine pull me aside one day and said, "Man, I'm really struggling in my faith. I feel like I'm in a spiritual rut, and I don't know how to get out of it." So I said, "Well, when's the last time that you were in God's Word?" "Four or five months ago." "So, okay. And how's your prayer life?" He kind of hung his head. "You probably already know the answer to that." And what I wanted to say is, in what other area of our lives do we expect growth without effort? I mean, if you want your grass to grow, you have to water it. If you expect to retire at 65 or 70 years old, you know that you have to be intentional about investing in that account, or there's not going to be anything there at the end. We have to make intentional effort. God did not give us everything required for godliness through the power of His Son, give us these precious promises to cling tightly to for us to be spiritual couch potatoes. I mean, what good is it to have the power of God, to have the knowledge of God through the Holy Spirit if we're not going to do anything with it? If we want to see growth, we have to make every effort. Number four, growth confirms our calling and belonging to Christ. You've heard Jay say this several times before, that we need to continually preach the gospel to ourselves. And this isn't because we forget the gospel or we've forgotten who Christ is and what He's done for us, but the point is that we need to continually preach the gospel to ourselves because we need to keep the precious truths and the knowledge of God and the hope that we have through Christ at the forefront of our hearts and minds so that we never forget whose we are. So it's funny because Peter is the one here who is saying, make every effort to confirm and affirm your calling and belonging, your calling and election, because if you do these things, you will never stumble. This is very interesting coming from Peter, considering that he has a master's degree in messing up. I mean, this is the same guy who was one of Jesus' first disciples. This is the same guy who saw Jesus walking on water and said, "Lord, call me out to you on the water." He goes and takes a few steps on the water, realizes, "Oh my goodness, I'm on water. This is weird." Falls into the water out of a lack of faith, and Jesus picks him up out of the water because of his lack of trust and faith in Jesus. But the one that we remember the most, in Matthew 26, Jesus tells him, "Before the rooster crows, you will deny me not once, not twice, but three times." I mean, Jesus even warned him, and he still did it. You would think if Jesus himself, who you've seen give these miracles, walk on water, heal the sick, feed the hungry, everything like that, if Jesus himself tells you, "You're going to deny me," I'd be like, "Mm-mm, no, I am not." And when it comes, it's not going to happen. Peter royally stumbled, royally messed up. So here we have a guy who's grown. We have a guy who's matured. When he's writing us this letter, he's speaking from experience, and he's saying, this is just an implication. This is what happened to me. If you do these things, if you increase your faith by having these qualities, if you do these things, this will keep you from stumbling like I did. He's speaking from experience. And he's grown and he's matured in his faith. And if we are in Christ, if we are truly in Christ, we should see growth. We should see evidence of our faith. There should at least be a desire for growth. The people around us should see growth in us. And when we see growth in our godliness, evidence of our faith lived out, our calling and belonging to Christ is confirmed, and we are reminded of God's glory and goodness, and that is what propels us and inspires us to make every effort and keep going until the day that we receive our promised inheritance, as Peter speaks of. And so as we close, I want you to know that this circle chart doesn't just go clockwise, it also goes backwards. And so I want to ask you the following questions. If you're sitting in your seat this morning and you're wondering about your salvation, are you seeing evidence? Are you seeing growth? Because the growth in our lives, the fruitfulness of our lives, as Peter puts it, is what confirms our calling and our belonging to Christ. And if you're not assured, then are you giving effort? Are you making every effort? Peter doesn't say make some effort. He says make every effort. Are you making any effort at all, or are you just sitting on the bicycle and still haven't started to pedal? And if that answer is no, let me ask you this question. Are you inspired by your salvation at all? Are you inspired to make an effort? Because we can't grow in godliness on our own. We fully depend on the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives through our justification to live out our godliness. God pushes us towards Him, but we still have to give effort. In the same way as a little boy depends on his dad, on his dad's hand to hold the bicycle, his hand on his back to feel his comfort. In the same way, we rely on God to help get us there, but we still have to pedal. So do you, in your heart, deep down within, do you even notice any kind of inkling of a notice that you are passionate and have a burning and a yearning desire to grow in your relationship with Him? And that's a no, and you are a professing believer, then you have to go all the way back to the top and ask, am I truly saved? And this isn't an attempt to try to get everyone in here to second guess their salvation, because if you are saved, you should find yourself somewhere on this chart. I see growth, I see fruit, I know that I'm making an effort, and I feel compelled and inspired in my heart to make an effort. That in itself is clues and evidence that we truly belong to Him. But if you don't find yourself on that chart, there's good news. Because in the same way that Peter failed, we're all going to fail, we're all going to fall, but there's great news. And here's the reason why it's good news, and here's the reason why we need to make an effort. Because we as humanity have turned away from God and to ourselves. But God proved His love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. When God had every right in the world to walk away, God in His merciful, gracious love for us made the greatest effort for us through Christ on the cross. So that if we believe in Him, turn away from ourselves, turn to Him, we can be redeemed and have eternal life forever. That should be the source of our every effort. That should be the reason why we pursue. That should be the reason why we try. That should be the reason why when we feel like we take two steps forward and one step back, why we get up and take another step forward. That's the reason why we pedal harder and harder and harder, because there will be bumps along the road. There will be things that get in the way. God doesn't expect us to be perfect. He expects us to try, to make every effort. And because He has promised us what we know in verse 3, that He has promised us, that He has given us every single thing required, that He's not withholding anything from us to help us get there, we don't really have an excuse. So knowing that he died on the cross for our sin while we turn our back on him, that should be the reason, I mean, and the true and only response we surely could have. So the question is this morning, where are you on the chart? Are you on the chart at all? Or do you just need to start pedaling and make every effort? Let's pray. God, we're so thankful that we have a reason to make an effort, a reason to grow in you, a reason to strive towards godliness, to grow in our faith. And I pray, Lord, that wherever we find ourselves this morning on that chart, that we will identify that and we will continue to pursue you no matter where we are. God, and we know that through your Son and through the precious promises of this text, that we know that we have an eternal hope in you. And no matter where we are, no matter what we're doing, no matter where we've been, you're calling us to make an effort, not to save ourselves, but because you have reached out your hand to us. We love you. Thank you for your Son that makes all this possible. And it's in your name that we pray.